Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership. We unlock the power of organizations and teams to overcome tough challenges, seize new opportunities, and turn bold ideas into real-world results through strategic planning, retreats, and team workshops. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. It is October and time for one of the premier events of the year. On October 9th, Cause San Diego will be hosting the 27th Annual Cause Conference at the Sharp Prebys Innovation and Education Center. This year's focus? Harnessing the power of business and community to accelerate social impact. Today on the podcast, we have a local leader who will be a featured speaker at the event, Mr. David Hopkins. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
David is the general manager of Patagonia Cardiff, where he leads with deep commitment to environmental responsibility, community engagement, and team development. With over 15 years of experience in values-driven retail, David supports Patagonia's mission by fostering a store culture that connects people to purpose and action. He works closely with his team and local partners to create a meaningful impact both inside and outside the store. Ready to do this, David?
I am. Let's go.
All right. So my first big question is, how did you come to work in such an amazing organization as Patagonia? We all in this whole purposeful, conscious capitalism kind of world. Patagonia is like one of the pride of the show, right? So how did you end up there? What's the backstory?
The backstory. So it starts in Boise, Idaho. My wife was going to school there. I was working for the Boise School District, and I wanted a part-time gig through the winter. And there's a nonprofit ski area there called Bogus Basin, which is a pretty amazing resource for that area. And both my wife and I got jobs there. And I became familiar with Patagonia through the other ski instructors and their pro program. And I'd had a few interactions. And 2008, kind of housing crisis, but also my wife graduated from Boise State. So we decided to move back to the East Coast. And
where were you originally from?
Oh, that's a big question too.
Okay.
My dad was a corporate pilot, so we moved around quite a bit.
Okay.
So
I had a similar experience.
Proudly say though that graduated high school and college in Bakersfield, California.
Ah, okay.
So it's been a long, like to get there, we went through Cincinnati, New York State, Florida, Texas.
Touched a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And then I've continued that as an adult until I got to America's finest city, and I've been here for 10 years.
No reason to leave now, David.
I know. Pandering to the crowd. So once we decided to move back, we were moving back to New York City. My wife's from Philadelphia, but I had family and connections there in New York. And we thought that was a good place to kind of get started after she was finished school.
Right into the city itself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I had a friend who lived there, and I really enjoyed the time I spent before, you know, when I'd met my wife and all that. So we end up back in New York City, and I, you know, had worked as a school teacher at a private school in New York. I'd worked as a bartender and a waiter. I'd done all of these different things. And I thought to myself, I want to keep that outdoor spirit that I've had almost all of my life in New York City. And I also want to work in a positive and healthy environment. And so I went to the Upper West Side retail store, Patagonia store, that's in an old carriage house. I walked in and asked for an application, filled it out. And I thought, oh, this will be a part-time job. I'll do this until I figure out something else.
What I really want to do in life.
Yeah, exactly. And 15 years later, so I worked at that store. I worked at a couple of the other stores that Patagonia has in New York. They have a Soho store that's 30 plus years probably now. And then kind of ending that chapter, I wanted to stay with Patagonia, but we wanted to come closer to mom and dad and my brothers up in San Clemente. And so I talked to them and got a job at the Cardiff store.
Oh, cool. So the ability to transfer within the organization.
Yeah. And it was a bit of, I describe it as, if you look at our logo, it's the rise and fall of the mountains down in Argentina that, you know, Chouinard went down and explored. And that's kind of how my career has gone. So I've definitely taken steps in the other quote unquote career direction in order to make a move in life. And that's a very comfortable thing within the Patagonia organization. And then I was a manager in New York City, came out as a what we call a team lead to Cardiff, and through lots of different paths and the loss of the store manager to cancer, he was an amazing human, Roy Kaufman. Yeah. Eventually, you know, stayed with the store and different things, and am now the GM again. So there's those rises and falls that happen in careers, life, and
there you go.
Everything else.
Things happen as you go.
Yeah.
And just so keep walking it out.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's almost 10 years at the Cardiff store for me, but the Cardiff store has about 20 years under its belt.
So let's talk about Patagonia, just because maybe people don't really know the whole story of Patagonia, but like maybe you could share, you know, what's Patagonia about? It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. Right now, at present, the main thing to know about Patagonia is the mission statement is the Earth is our only shareholder. So every year the board meets a couple times a year, a dividend check is cut to the Holdfast Collective, which is a 501c4. And that dividend check is, you know, basically all of the money that Patagonia is generating after business expenses, taking care of its employees, you know, everything else is going to that. So that's the core thing. So
essentially
thing
the profit of the store.
Yeah, essentially the profit. I kind of start with the end. So that's where Patagonia is at. But it's been a long 50 plus year road of Yvonne Chouinard and Melinda Chouinard starting the company in Ventura, California, born out of rock climbing and Chouinard equipment, which eventually became Black Diamond, which is in the climbing world and skiing world, a really well-known brand now. And Chouinard stayed with the clothing side. So stayed with the Patagonia side and sold off the hard goods and all of that. And then again, through all those ups and downs, decisions around the, you know, fabrics, what whether or not to use conventional cotton or whether or not to use organic cotton, all of these stories that are in the Patagonia myth and lore, they made choices that were based on the environment and then they benefited business. So moved to organic cotton was costly. The employees, you know, had to struggle through that process, but it eventually made Patagonia more money. Fabrics, Blue Sign, 1% for the planet, you know, all of these different. The fabrics is a Blue Sign certification. The 1% for the planet is giving to local nonprofits, becoming a B Corp. All of those things have.
And be certified too, yeah.
Yeah. One would argue they have made Patagonia successful in its little niche of the world. So that's a story. Let My People Go Surfing is the tongue-in-cheek book by Yvonne Chouinard that is pretty comprehensive at telling the entire story of the company.
Does he have a new book that just came out or something? I was actually talking to somebody this morning.
Yeah, that was written by, I think it's called The Dirtbag Billionaire.
Yeah.
It was written by someone, but it was
his story.
Yeah, his story. And I believe, you know, they interviewed him. It was something that.
Catchy title.
I imagine. Yeah. That's a big, again, in all of the lore and a lot of these things are true stories. You know, Yvonne to this day, I think I've only met him twice, but a reasonably down to earth billionaire.
Yeah.
I think is how I would describe it. Dirtbag is the word used within the Patagonia universe. So
that reminds me of the Interface story where we Beyond Zero documentary that we filmed, showed out here. And, you know, the CEO of that business, I think is Anderson, you know, basically making a product that's 90% oil based and all of a sudden loses an account because they didn't have like a social program of some sort. He goes, what is this stuff? And this is many years ago.
Yeah.
I think even pre-Patagonia.
Yeah.
And he finds out, man, I'm destroying the earth, right? And all of a sudden he goes, guys like me should be put in jail. Then he went on this whole path of like saying, you know, how do we make our product really, you know, acceptable into the marketplace and still be environmentally good, you know, the Beyond Zero idea and the leadership it took to make that happen. But it's kind of that whole mindset of like, man, we need to be doing something different as leaders.
Yeah. And there are restrictions. That's a side of materials. You know, there are restrictions that designers for Patagonia have to, you know, deal with that other companies don't. For us, the store in Cardiff was opened by Devin Howard, who's a local surfer, and the Malloy Brothers is meant to center on the surfing side of the brand. And that started when they started making wetsuits. Well, wetsuits, right? I mean, that's a whole universe. And with Patagonia, now you can purchase a rubber, essentially Ulex is the brand, non-petroleum wetsuit. And that was something that, you know I work for them, but that we pushed that into the market. And now you see it.
Oh, that right. Came from the local.
It came from Patagonia.
Yeah.
Came from Patagonia taking a step and making something viable for other brands to be able to use this Ulex product.
Yeah.
So that's the type. And there's a lot of, because it's what they've done, but I mean, you know, plastic bottles into fleece, you know, the Net Plus, which is Boreo, they're collecting fishing nets down in Chile. That's what the bill of this hat is made from.
Oh, okay.
So there are those things that I we don't do a great job of telling all those stories, and not everyone has to know all of them, but there's a lot of good stories about that. A CEO that looks at it and goes, oh, wait a second, you've told me this problem. I'm not just going to ignore it. And I could maybe find a different path. And I think that's one of the great kind of underlying stories with Patagonia.
Just goes to prove that we actually could do it if we wanted to do it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It wasn't purely about profit, that there was a bigger picture, a bigger idea, right? Which is the whole idea of having a grander purpose in your business, and that it's all possible. You know, we can figure it out as humans.
Yeah.
So how does that translate kind of locally as the local manager? What's it like working at the Patagonia store? I mean, what's...
Yeah. So we are given a budget to donate clothing and money, grants, to local nonprofits. So that means that we're constantly kind of in and out and engaging with folks. People are coming to us. They're either asking, or we are going out and finding a new grantee. So that creates a dynamic between the store and the local nonprofits.
Communities.
We
provide space and things like that as well.
Too. Yeah, we definitely provide space. So then from there, if it's not just that pure kind of simple, oh, we'll give you a bag or whatever for your raffle, or we will give you a grant, then we're saying you can come and use our patio. We can have an event, you know, in our store that might support X, Y, and Z. We do a Sea Rambler bike ride that goes out to a nonprofit, Coastal Roots Farm, which has brought its small numbers, but, you know, let's say 50 to 60 people to Coastal Roots, then they are able to talk about what they do. We ride back.
That's happening this weekend.
It is happening this weekend. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Get your bike out. Let's go.
Yeah. So there's a lot of little things that we can do. And then we're taking our staff, what our staff is focused on and what they're interested in. And then we're bringing that kind of through the store lens, trying to use those different tools to hopefully generate something bigger. So one of the young men at the store is really interested in the Arctic and the preserve there. He's done an internship through the store. We've helped send him up there. He then brought folks down and did an event.
Wow.
And that just brings something tangible for someone, an employee working in the store, brings something tangible for them to then, you know, build on and be excited about while they're folding t-shirts and making sure jackets are
something. But then bring that and share that with the community though.
Yeah. And share that with the community. And for us, we've done multiple events in Tijuana, you know, with groups there. We've done a film series with a group called Four Walls that has talked about the boundary spanning is what the nonprofit calls it. And then one of our grants helped to fund a series of films that went into what is happening from an environmental perspective, positive environmental perspective on the Tijuana side and the groups that are working there, and then the collaboration that's happening with groups on the U.S. side. Because as we all know, from an environmental perspective, that's something that we need to step up and solve.
Right.
And similar to the wetsuit conversation.
There's solutions if we wanted to do it.
With enough money and enough brain power, we can do it. So, but it's complicated and it's wild to be able to get involved, talk to those folks, see what they're doing, get to go down and, you know, get a tour of the Tijuana River estuary from them. It's just additive to being a general manager of a store.
A part of the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the local side.
We'll be right back to the show. But first, we have some very exciting news to share. On October 9th, Cause San Diego will be hosting the 27th annual Cause Conference at the Sharp Preppis Innovation and Education Center. This year's theme, harnessing the power of business and community to accelerate social impact. Our San Diego region is facing unprecedented challenges that need a holistic, all-hands-on-deck approach to solve. The Cause Conference 2025 is bringing together for-profit, nonprofit, government, and academia for a great day of learning, connecting, and collaborating to create solutions for the problems that impact our community. For more information about the Cause Conference 2025, go to causesandiego.org or hit the link in the show notes below. Now back to the show. So we were just talking, you were hiring today. So maybe talk a little bit about what's that look like for Patagonia? Like, how do you guys hire?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's always a challenge. And you were saying you're looking for the specific skill sets and those kinds of things that you need.
Yeah. Within the store, our structure is general manager, assistant manager, and then we have four leads. So those are folks traditionally in retail with keys and responsibilities. The warehouse, that's key. You'll never hopefully see a retail manager who doesn't respect that person and really honor what they do. For us, there's visual. Again, that's a standard role within retail, marketing, and then activism. So those four people are working to keep everything moving. Warehouse and Visual, again, pretty standard retail stuff. And
the blocking and tackling of being a retail store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as a brother of a lineman, the blocking and tackling, the basic things are super important. And then on the other side, marketing. Well, marketing from a Patagonia's perspective is really what we were talking about. It's the activism. It's us getting out in the community and saying, here's our brand of business. Come and shop with us. You know, buy Patagonia as opposed to someone else, because right. we're marketing through this.
You want fast fashion, that's down the street. If you want to do something good for the environment, come talk to us. Yes.
Yeah. Come on by. You know, if you want to buy a product that then can be, you know, we have the largest repair facility in North America.
I think that itself's pretty amazing. Right?
Yeah. We have a recycling program. We have all this. But back to the hiring. So you're getting those four folks and the key people of a marketing and activism team lead that are working together to really share out the bike rides. We do a bike to farm ride where we ride out to a farm. Any of the ambassadors, we call them ambassadors, that would come into town and do an event, they're working all together. And then, of course, you know, Instagram and these other avenues that we use to get information. So
that's out. Kind of a corporate function, the ambassadors. I mean,
the ambassadors are more of a corporate function, but because of our surf focus, you know, we're kind of hoping that those folks are, you know, there's a Greg Long is a local. Local in Southern California. You know, David Rostovich is someone, you know, who has, they've come through the store and done events with us and for us that have hopefully benefited the San Diego surf community by getting to actually chat with these folks. So that's our core group of people. And then we have customer service guides is what we frame it as. Yeah. And those folks come usually, people always say, oh, it's busiest in the summer, and it's not. We're still, you know, November, December,
Christmas people
coming in. Yeah, exactly. The power of it. So we don't usually expand our staff until October, November, and we'll hire more, you know, customer experience guides.
How many folks do you have working there all total?
It depends, kind of 12 or 13
okay.
for that core staff. So that core staff.
It's a nice size crew.
Yeah. And that core staff will get, you know, healthcare, vacation days, 401k, all that stuff, even at a part-time level, which is great as someone who manages people there.
That's what they offer the guy down the street. It's not offering the retail space.
Totally. So they're excited. And we'll, you know, when we open up hiring, we open it up, you know, it'll be, you know, Patagonia folks locally, we'll see people, and we're fairly lucky to be able to draw people in and interview from a pretty amazing pool of people.
Got a little name recognition going
on. Yeah. Which is fantastic. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's good.
I didn't see it written somewhere. Maybe it is. Like, what are the kind of some of the basic values that you guys look to honor in a kind of as you run the business?
So for Patagonia, core values: quality, integrity, environmentalism, justice, and being not bound by convention. So
I like that last one.
Yeah. The last one is a great one to focus on, because the business we're running, if you're conventional about it, your brain will get twisted up. So if you say, okay, we're going to do an after hours event for this reason, because it's the right thing to do, it may not bring any profit into the store. Even the way that we market, I don't have hard metrics on, you know, exactly how many people that bring in, you know.
Here's the ROI on this event.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I can roughly, hopefully sketch that out. But again, we're hoping on that ephemeral thing that people say, they read up enough about Patagonia. They say, okay, these folks are getting paid a good wage. They're trying as best they can to adhere to that core value of environmentalism and pick the right products, so we know that we're buying, you know, something that is recycled or causing the least harm. Yeah. There's no real metric except that we've been around 50 plus years and
something's working.
Yeah. Something's working and people still come in. So those are the main things I think that they want us to focus on. And that message of the environment is told through that Hold Fast Collective, like I was talking about, you know, since Gennard's, you know, giving away the company, I was going to put air quotes, but I don't think that's true. And we're on a podcast. The ROI on that is $180 million. So the money's out there and doing things. And I think more and more as Patagonia grows into that, you're going to see the tangible things that Patagonia has done with that money, or groups that Patagonia Sports has done with that money. And it will continue to grow that environmental message and the not bound by convention message.
Arguably. Love that. As a Patagonia guy, a long time, what's your best Patagonia story? Or someone says, man, this is why I work for this company. I am so proud to be here.
Oh God, there's a few. I remember we were at a manager's conference, and when Yvon Chouinard got out and entered the lobby, and there was a name tag thing, and we were standing there, and I said, oh, hey, I said, the name tag, you can go get your name tag over there. And I think he mildly laughed. But like things that I've done with Patagonia that would not have happened most likely with other companies. I did an internship with a group in Tijuana for almost 3 months. So managing the store, going through all that, I have a degree in Spanish and Mexican American studies. I'm interested in what's happening in our region. So I'm able to apply for an internship. This doesn't, it's, you know,
similar to the Arctic story kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And be involved. And there's different ways that that's taking shape at Patagonia. We have activism hours that we can use to be involved in different spaces. But I got to go down and work with Nación Verde, which is a group in Tijuana, and work at one of their greenhouses down in a park down in Tijuana that they, you know, were able to use the space. And then I was able to go down to mainland Mexico and work with them down there. And that is something that has, it still obviously sticks with me. And it was pretty amazing to be able to get out of my universe, go down and do that, see how a nonprofit would work in Mexico. And
what was your biggest learning out of that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is real hard to work in a greenhouse. That'd be the first thing. The first thing. Yeah. That there's some really like hardworking, strong people.
Oh,
that
physically
are, that are just, doing just yeah,
like, physical just challenge.
Even bending over, like it's wild. Like, and then the challenges of certain resources, how the ingenuity that would take to have some of the systems work down there, even desalinization of groundwater that they had, like how they would regulate that to go into the plants and make sure that everything's going to be able to grow properly.
Things that we might just take for granted. Totally, down there all of a sudden becomes a big challenge.
Yeah, man. Totally take for granted. I mean, then we would get out when we were down in mainland Mexico and talk to people about those, you know, carbon credits. And, you know, you're running around in an old Toyota, you know, showing up at spots and you get six guys that are all landowners and, you know, I'm not, but I'm there supporting and you're articulating the value of growing trees on this land and waiting for however many years, you know, they can then harvest it. But it's really trying to paint that longer, take a longer lens and articulate it to those folks who sometimes are, you know, maybe not trusting everything that group is saying, but then also needing to make a living.
Right.
Patagonia has surprised me and continues to surprise me in certain things. And it's been a fun company to work for.
Yeah. I had a bit of experience like that. Back in 2005, I guess I'm thinking. Yeah. So some years ago now, I worked for a company called Water Health and we were putting water systems in.
Okay.
So I spent a lot of time in India and Africa and all that. And so I had this whole construction project. I was like the guy in charge of in India, right? So it's back to your points. Like it doesn't work the same there as it does here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a challenge for sure. Yeah. But learning, you know, and it was kind of fun. I mean, yeah. I have to say, when I look at my career, that's probably one of the best times of my whole life, was actually traipsing around the world, actually, and plopping into these villages and trying to get some work done. So it was fun.
Yeah.
But difficult and back to hot and miserable. Yeah. The food. You know, if you've ever been to Southern India, man, they got some food that'll kill you.
Yeah. I think you need to. I was lucky enough because I'm trained in the art of eating tacos multiple times and I got a chance to go to some pretty epic spots.
Love it. So we got the CAUSE conference coming up and that's how we got connected was you're going to be part of the CAUSE conference. What are you talking about at the CAUSE conference? Let's get some people excited here, David.
Right. Yeah. We have a fireside chat. We're hopefully going to show a little video on the process of giving the company away or creating that Earth is our only shareholder message. And then we have a kind of a main focus on how the business has benefited different environmental causes. So if it's the organic cotton, the Villosa River, which is a European endeavor, a few different of the featured things that are kind of that ROI, right? They're the tangible things that over the course of Patagonia's life, it has actually done positive things with the money, you know, the capital that we've generated. So those are the main things. And we're going to have a booth. We have, you know, a few different books that we'll bring that feature, you know, different stories that Patagonia has. And myself and Jenna, who's going to join me, will be there, you know, at the booth.
Who's Jenna?
Hanging out. She is our activism team lead.
Okay.
So that main person that's been doing for 3+ years, the connecting with the community and those different groups. She's a proud Aztec, graduated here in San Diego and is going to be on a panel that kind of talks about the younger set and why they would choose to come and work for a company like Patagonia. And then she'll be at the booth as well, just to talk with people. I think we got the morning slot there of you know, 20, 30 minutes or so.
There you go.
We're excited outside of that just to be able to be there and to talk to people, and heard good things about that building at Sharp. I think it's supposed to be a pretty beautiful. Fun place to hang out.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. They've had the conference there for the last couple of years. And yeah, I just want to do a little promotion there. It's like I've been involved with the COS conference since like 2018 and trying to make this move to get a lot more for-profit companies to show up there, right? It's really like, how do we ignite the for-profit companies doing what Patagonia is doing? How do you start to take some of your assets and abilities and, you know, not just money, but also, you know, your talents, right? If you're a construction company, how can you bring construction to different things? And that's the place we're trying to have that big annual get together and say, what can we be doing here in San Diego? Yeah. Very San Diego focused, and how do we make that different here? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, and it draws a big, you know, 200-300 people show up at this thing too. So it's a great crowd.
Yeah. That's awesome. We're excited. The corporate folks reach out to us and ask us to come down and be involved too.
Oh, perfect.
It's fun. And, you know, it goes as well this year, maybe get Ryan to come down, the CEO, and talk. I don't know.
Get him on the show next year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right, David, that's our plan. Let's do it. Get the main dog from Patagonia in here. That'd be awesome. So what do you see in the future here? I mean, you're involved in environmental. We see the world kind of seems to be crumbling in many directions, certainly around the climate. And we got so many crazy things going on in this country now. We don't even talk about climate anymore. It doesn't even seem like the big crisis anymore. Now we seem to have other crises. But what do you see? Where are we going to be in 2-3 years from now from your perspective?
Optimistic lens, I think, as Patagonia comes out, just from the Patagonia perspective, as they come out with reports on what the business has been able to do in the areas of climate conservation, I think people will continue to see it as a model and as a way that, you know, if you're a business owner and you're going to grow to, you know, have the company go public, or you're going to grow to do whatever you're going to do, this might be something you could take a look at. Because as I mean, Chouinard's in his 80s now, and, you know, he is looking towards the future. He's saying, what legacy am I going to leave? And I think in 5 years, if that number grows, you know, people are going to take note of it. So from a Patagonia perspective, I think we can step in and do things and
make a difference,
and continue to make a difference. Yeah.
How do we enroll other companies, other people to think of big? That's kind of the challenge, right?
Yeah.
Can't do it alone. We got to figure out how to collaborate here.
Yeah. 1% for the planet is probably the best way to collaborate. So when we were at the 1% for the planet, which happened here at Balboa Park this year, it's their yearly conference. It was a lot of sharing of tools, they had a conversation about what to do with your business when you're wanting to phase out and go spend time with your kids, grandkids, and what do you want your business to do?
And what's your legacy?
Yeah, what's your legacy? Because, you know, I didn't go to business school, but I know that I can go a lot of different ways. And so they had an entire, you know, 2-hour conversation about models for what to do with your business and how to leave it with a structure that is going to sustain the employees, the business, and the project that you're working on. So that 1% for the planet group is probably the best place to get involved and to have resources to learn from, because they're like-minded folks that are doing.
Is that its own organization, or is that part of Patagonia? Yeah,
it started by Patagonia, but now it's own organization. So Patagonia became, they called it the Earth Tax. Patagonia, you know, started that in a very small way with one other business. I think a gentleman owned a fly shop that Yvonne knew, and then grew that into lots of different companies that realized they were able to do this thing and then, you know, add benefit to their business, network with people, figure out what steps they can use, market based off of being a part of this organization. And then now, and I first time I've gone to the conference, but I was pretty blown away at the different tools that people can learn from that. So for the future, if more people realize that this is viable and it's going to work, then maybe they would move.
Right. It's good business.
It's good business. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just some sort of donation or something. It's like, here's a good way of running the business. It's going to have a long-term impact for everybody, all stakeholders.
Yeah. And so that depends on what the person's passions are. And for Yvonne, it's, and Melinda and that family, it's the environment, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's such a great opportunity here, right? I mean, you got all these baby boomers that are kind of retiring out here. So like there's trillions of dollars of wealth they're going to transfer as all these businesses kind of move forward. But like, you know, how do we do it in a way that, like you say, creates great legacy and has a long-term impact? And I just like, okay, well, I sold it. I went off. I played golf now, right? No.
Right. Yeah.
What else can we be doing with it? So
yeah.
Interesting. And
I like the two that it's a dividend, right? The Earth is our only shareholders. It's the same language, right? A dividend is paid out, but that dividend is going to those organizations. And yeah, I'm optimistic in that regard. As to everything else, I plead the fifth.
Yeah. It's just kind of sad that too long we've kind of looked at the environment as that's sort of just some freebie thing we just get to take advantage of, right? It's just like, I don't have to pay for the fact that I'm putting out pollution or whatever. That just, somehow someone else is going to take care of that.
And it's interesting because Patagonia has it's a double-edged sword. We need a healthy environment for people to buy our clothes and use them in the area. So when you're surfing, if you can't go into the water because of pollution, you're not, we're not able to, you
can't sell product.
Yeah, exactly. If a national
park, how selfish of you, David.
Yeah. Well, they've done, economic studies on national parks and what it does for those towns that surround it. Bears Ears, which is a huge project that Patagonia was a part of, it's a climbing area. These are areas, everyone wants to go to Yosemite. But for rock climbers, that's a pretty important place. And, for Patagonia, it's a clean environment and an open space means more people in Patagonia house layer jackets and pants. And we have to have it.
So I have to share with you, I was on your website, trying to get prepared for what we're going to talk about here today. And you guys have this new product, I forget the name, it's kind of like sort of a rain sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm heading off to Seattle on Saturday. And of course, it's supposed to rain for like 5 days or something while I'm there. It's like, I'm like, oh man, that'd be awesome. My wife goes, well, go get it. Yeah. I go, okay, maybe. We'll see.
Come on up. I'll be there tomorrow.
Come on up. All right.
Yeah, we have a few, like regionally, like we have a couple of solid rain shells. And then there's a lot of stuff that's geared a little more towards surf. We shock a few people when they come in and expect all the alpine pieces. But shameless plug, the torrent shell is a solid go-to for travel to Seattle.
Well, I have this little side gig I do here where I'm managing this cleanup team. It's a part of a nonprofit I work with. And so winter's around the corner here. So it rains here too. So it's like, okay, that'd be kind of a cool thing to be able to wear when I'm out in the streets here cleaning up in the wintertime. So, well, we got to put a little bow on this here. And I always like to end it with, what's the big idea? If people didn't remember anything else out of this conversation, what's the one thing you wanted to remember, David?
The one thing is the legacy and history of Patagonia tells a new business owner a lot of stories and a lot of ways for them to not drop into pitfalls, and explains, I think, the idea of focusing on, a solution. You're not going to solve every problem. So for Patagonia, a focus on the environment allowed them to have clarity in what their mission was, and then gave a result to someone who was at Chouinard's as a reluctant, business owner or entrepreneur. And that arc, I think, is something that's good to dig into if you're going to start your own journey story.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to this kind of one of the tenets of conscious capitalism is the idea of the higher purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're in the retail business, we're selling clothes, but there's a grander thing that we're doing. So it's like, we're about the environment. So how do we do clothes in a way that is a positive in the environment versus a negative, which kind of tends to be the way clothing is these days. So
yeah, clothing is tough. And most people don't, there's a lot of people who come in with some really deep questions and they want to know some answers. And there's a lot of people who are not overly interested in, that understandably they want it to, you don't want it to work when they go up to Seattle and they work outside. So yeah.
Well, appreciate you. Appreciate what Patagonia as an organization has done through all the years. Appreciate what you're doing here locally in our community, and looking forward to the fireside chat at the CAUSE conference is coming up. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Come to Patagonia Cardiff or go to the website. You can sign up for the mailing list at the Patagonia Cardiff site and you'll hear about the Sea Rambler and
lots of things going on.
Any of the other stuff going on.
Good stuff. Well, thanks, David. Appreciate it. That's our show for today, and if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and CAUSE San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best. We're all counting on you.